Now back to the Jersey Mike's Game of the Week on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
We're at halftime here at Mundley Field in Jackson, where the Jaguars and Red Bank Catholic are tied at 13 after a terrific first half of football. We're going to head down to the field. It's time for our Horn Law Group halftime show, brought to you by the Horn Law Group. If you're going to court, then call them first for a free consultation. Located in downtown Toms River, check out their legal services at hornlawgroup.net. On the field is Ed Sarluka.
And I am joined at halftime with our partner, Scott Stump. Scott, always enjoy this time of the year when teams play their way in and play their way out of the playoff.
Right, and this week was a little weird because you had some teams playing their ninth game and others playing, you know, fighting for their lives. But a lot of these teams that are playing their ninth game have given some great efforts. You look at Brick Memorial taking it to a desperate Southern team that needs to win to get in. Memorial in control of that game. And even you look at tonight's game, this is the ninth game for both of these teams, but they're playing it like it's the Super Bowl out here.
Yeah, I was going to say, this game, it seems like both teams need this to get themselves into the playoff, when in reality it's the ninth game for both and it doesn't really mean a whole lot.
Right, but I think in the respect department, Jackson feels like RBC's won 40 straight games against Shore Conference competition. So you get this one, that's a pretty massive win to launch you into the playoffs, and they're trying to get that number one seed in Central Jersey Group 4. You beat a team like RBC, you can't get more confidence than that, and they clearly have woken up, RBC. You haven't seen a team up front all year take it to them like Jackson did on their last scoring drive to set up that field goal. I mean, and the touchdown with Golic. I mean, they were just running power and ISO every single play. In other words, here's what it is. It's coming right at you, and RBC can't stop it. You never see that against teams around here.
When a team gets desperate, our comments in that first half was, you put the ball in your best player's hands, and that last drive to tie this one up at 13 was in the hands of Eddie Hahn.
I mean, that's just such a dimension RBC hasn't had in recent years, where their running game has really struggled in this game so far, which you also don't see a whole lot, but Hahn has been a magician on third down. He moves the chains either with great runs. He's been pretty accurate with his passes other than the one he airmailed that Kyle Johnson picked off, but that was a big-time catch in the back of the end zone by Trevor Callie to get a foot down in bounds for that catch. But RBC's offensive line on the pass plays has given him a decent amount of time to get the ball off. He has been sacked twice, but those were mainly on plays where he held the ball a good amount of time. But, yeah, he's been tremendous on third down, and it's clear that Jackson taking that 13-6 lead definitely got RBC's attention.
Yes, I certainly think they woke up, with a couple minutes left at halftime to tie this one up. A couple other teams making some statements tonight. Let's start at Middletown South, where the bubble has burst for the Colonials of Freehold.
Yeah, Middletown South is up 35-0 in the late second quarter. So Burrow got whacked by Manalapan 42-3 last week. Now they face South this week, another, bad loss for them. So, they started 7-0, and everyone's question was, they haven't really played anyone yet, so they've kind of come back down to earth a little bit. I mean, they're still going to be a fairly high seed in that Central Group 4 bracket, but clearly they're going to go in as an underdog, and it looks like Middletown South is rounding into form, and they're going to also be a factor in that Central 4 bracket here with Jackson Memorial and Brick.
Yeah, they're looking for possibly a top seed, the number one seed, if things work out. It doesn't look like that's going to happen, because in order for that to happen, Southern would have had to beat Brick Memorial. And right now, I think it's 28-7 Brick Memorial. If that would have happened, Jackson would have gotten three residuals. So it's entirely possible that, Middletown South could get that top seed.
And they're really tough at the Swamp. As anybody knows, it's not easy to go to their home field and get a win. So that would be a big swing for them to not have to go to Jackson or Brick in a semifinal game, potentially. So that's a good job by them. And a couple other big centrals all over Jackson Liberty, Kevin's alma mater, on their way to getting their first division title since my senior year of high school.
That's how. What year?
1994. So good job so far. They're up 32-7 on their way, looking to wrap that up. And Barnegat will play Pinelands on Thanksgiving to most likely share that with them. Rumson in control, 21-0 at halftime over Holmdahl as they try to get the number one seed in Central Jersey Group 2. So, it's just a ton of important games tonight. Neptune up 7-0 on Toms River North, you know, and Neptune needs that game to at least guarantee that it doesn't get jumped by other teams that also have games tonight at the bottom of that Central 4 bracket.
Yeah, it's an exciting time of the year as I would say roughly, 75 to 100 band members and their parents are being introduced here at halftime.
As I said, I think that Jackson Memorial Band is bigger than Point Pleasant Beach High School.
Which is a couple hundred people. You are correct. But anyway, Mattawan tonight playing a pretty good ball game.
Yeah, they're up 20-14 on a 6-1 Barnegat team that's at least trying to get a decent seed in South Jersey Group 2, although in that bracket, there's nowhere to run. It's kind of no matter where you get seated, you're going to have to go to Haddonfield or undefeated Buna or undefeated Camden and in West Deptford. That's probably one of the best, maybe the best small school public bracket in New Jersey. So Barnegat's going to have their work cut out for them in the playoffs. For Mattawan, this is their ninth game, so they're just trying to, you know, get some good momentum going into a playoff game where they're going to face Raritan. The only question is, will it be at Mattawan or at Raritan? Raritan plays Monmouth Regional tomorrow. They have to win, and then it might come down to a few residual points to see who gets the home game there.
Not sure what you're doing tomorrow, but I will attend the St. John Vianney Manasquan game. I'm anxious to see St. John Vianney. Haven't seen him yet live this year in a important game for Manasquan.
Yeah, I'll also be at that game. So, you're right. Important for both. Manasquan and South Jersey Group 3 can come rocketing up the seedings if they get a win over an undefeated 8-0 St. John Vianney team. And for St. John Vianney, they can clinch the outright Class A Central title with a win. It's already their first division title since 1982. So Mark Ciccatelli making an immediate impact as their new head coach. And, yeah, Anthony Brown, their junior quarterback, leads the Shore Conference in passing yards, touchdown passes. He's been tremendous with almost 2,000 yards of total offense already. And he's already has an offer from New Hampshire. They said they saw his film at Boston College the other day, and they've immediately started recruiting him. He's a player that I think once his film gets out after this season, he could almost be like Manny Bowen after last year where his recruiting just exploded and a ton of high-level FBS programs are going to come in on him.
Yeah, I believe he also got an offer from Liberty, which ironically is the team that Monmouth will play this week, in the Big South.
Yeah, I think the FCS programs, it might be a long shot when it's all said and done to try and land Anthony Brown. I think he's going to be one of the top prospects, not only in the Shore Conference, but in the state next year.
Yeah, him and this kid here playing for RBC tonight, Eddie Hahn, will also have a ton of offers.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he has an offer from North Carolina State already. But again, I think the biggest thing that I've talked to about coaches is they're wondering what his position is at the next level. You know, he's also a very good safety. He's just a great all-around athlete. So the question is whether he will be a quarterback at the next level or they'll move him to defense or where he'll end up. I've heard other people want to move him to tight end or linebacker at the FBS level. But one way or another, he's going to be landing at a big-time school. And their junior lineman, Liam Smith, also has about 6 or 7 FBS offers. Just got offered by Duke a few days ago. So, as usual, the assembly line keeps rolling at RBC.
You know, once you get your name on that list, the schools come calling. Like you said, like you mentioned earlier in our interview, it happened to Manny Bowen last year.
Yeah, I mean, it can usually once their film of the year, from their year starts circulating amongst coaches, and you know how it works. Once one or two offer, the dam kind of breaks, and everybody gets in on it. So, yeah, that's there's a lot of good talent on this field right now, and you know, I've just been really impressed with Jackson Memorial's effort so far. Also, Jared Calhoun, I mean, nailing 2 30-plus-yard field goals. It's a freezing night out here. The ball has been really slippery, as we've seen, with a lot of fumbles. So that was an impressive job by him, which obviously those are huge. RBC has not – there's not been one situation all year where RBC hasn't been winning at halftime. So we're going to find out a little bit more about them. And, you know, that Jackson Memorial offensive line earning a lot of respect so far with the job they've done. And their defensive line with how they've really pretty much crushed RBC's run game other than a few Hahn breaking the pocket on some third down plays.
Yeah, they've all been scrambles. You know, they cannot get that blast, that isolation play going, and they've run it against everybody.
And that's the thing, when you look down the road at a potential meeting with St. Joe's Montvale, and you start to think, okay, if you're having trouble moving the ball against admittedly a very good Jackson team, but probably not on the level of St. Joe's, it's going to be a tall order in the playoffs to try and finally knock them off. Although, that's a very interesting bracket, because if St. Joe's loses tomorrow to Paramus Catholic, who's number one in the state, nationally ranked, they're going to individual points race with St. John Vianney for that number three seed. And if Vianney ends up getting it over them, we could be looking at an RBC-SJV semifinal, which would be a hugely anticipated game.
Yeah, one last question, Scott. You know, we were talking to Mark Ciccatelli and his kicker, tremendous kicker that he has. That's one position. You know, we talk running backs, we talk quarterbacks, we talk defensive, offensive linemen. We never talk about the kickers. It's loaded in the Shore this year.
Obviously, you have Manalapan senior Mike Caggiano. Just got an offer from the University of Hawaii, his first Division I offer.
I'm taking that one.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't even wait for any other ones. Just get on the plane. And, you know, he's already the Shore Conference's all-time leader in points scored by a kicker for a career. And then you have Joe Rice, as you mentioned, from St. John Vianney. He came out just his first year this year, and he's been tremendous. He has the Shore Conference long field goal for the year with 41 yards. Vince Gallo, I know he missed that first one tonight for RBC, but he was recruited off the soccer team. He was a starter on the soccer team. He's been excellent for the most part. I think he's 43 out of 47 on PATs. He has three field goals for RBC, so he's been very good. Jake Montero, now coming back into form on Shore Regional. He's a tremendous kicker. He was a little banged up because he also plays linebacker this year. So he was a little hurt early in the season. But, yeah, there's a lot of games where, you know, Pat Davis on Lacey, I think, is another quality kicker. But so many teams more and more have kicking specialists, too, that really focus on it. It's not, hey, you're the best athlete on the team, go out there and kick. You have a lot of kids that are focused on it, and a lot more that are getting recruited off the soccer team that are having nice seasons.
Scott, it's going to be a busy Saturday night and Sunday afternoon as we try to calculate, you know, who's in and who's out.
Yeah, I'm a journalism major, so this is always tough for me. I was sitting there over the calculator banging my head on the desk, but we'll figure it out.
Gridiron.com.
Gridiron, New Jersey, yes.
They have it all covered.
Yeah, exactly. I leave the math to them. We'll handle the videos, the great stories, the photos, and they can do the math.
And you certainly do put up the videos on our Shore Sports Network site. Join Scott and his videos every week. We do the player of the week. We do the team of the week. And there are many videos of those top plays of the week. Scott Stump, thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Should be a great second half.
Scott Stump, Kevin, and Matt, always good to talk to Scott, as well as Bobby Batters, our other guy that works for us. They know high school football.
All right, Ed, nice job. It's senior night here at Jackson. It took about 5 minutes to introduce the seniors on the football team, 15 minutes in the band.
We said, Scott and I said, at least 75 to 100 senior band parents, at least.
Right. Not only do they introduce the parents, but siblings who are here as well. I hope they didn't all get in for free. They'll turn in like $32 at the gate after the night's over.
One thing I will tell you, the snack bar is very busy.
All right. Good job at halftime. As the band will leave the field, the teams will come out shortly, and we will get set for what we expect to be a terrific second half after a first half in which the Jaguars and Red Bank Catholic are all even at 13. We'll take a timeout. Let's take a two-minute break, and we'll come back and get you set for the second half kickoff. You're listening to the Jersey Mike's Game of the Week on the Shore Sports Network.
Now back to the Jersey Mike's Game of the Week on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
As always, halftime brought to you by the Horn Law Group. If you're going to court, then call them first for a free consultation. Located in downtown Tom's River, check out their legal services at hornlawgroup.net. Some scores around the Shore Conference. Rumson leading Homedale 21-0 at the half.
Kevin, real quick, in that game, Charlie Volker not playing tonight.
That's correct.
Nursing that ankle.
I was just going to mention that. Yep.
Okay.
Charlie Volker is not in uniform for the Bulldogs, and they're looking to lock up a top seed and get ready for the state playoffs. Hopefully we'll have him healthy when they start next week. Red Bank and winless Manchester are scoreless at halftime. As we mentioned, Brick kicked a field goal. Casey Stackable with a field goal just before halftime to take a 17-14 lead on Toms River High School South. That a big one there, especially for the Indians as they try and earn a playoff spot. Marlboro seeking its first win, and they're halfway there. Marlboro leading J.P. Stevens 18-6 at the half. We mentioned Middletown South rolling over Freehold Borough 35-0. Mattawan up on Barnegat 20-17. That a good one. Central, I believe, was 32-7 over Jackson Liberty. The Golden Eagles seeking a share of the B-South Championship. Boy, it's been a long time for them. Central outgained Jackson Liberty, by the way, in the first half of that game, 217-54. Golden Eagles have really played very well. I'll tell you what, Willie Jacobs does deserve a huge amount of credit for what he's done with that program this year.
Surprise team of the year for me, Kevin.
Yeah, I think so. I think Central really has come out of nowhere and shocked a lot of people with their effort this season. I'm not so sure they're not playing better than anyone in the B-South at this moment.
Both teams have made their way out onto the field as we are tied here at 13. Why don't we step out? We'll take one more break. We'll make it a two-minute timeout. We'll come back with the start of the second half with the Caseys and Jaguars all square at 13. You're listening to our Jersey Mike's Game of the Week on the Shore Sports Network.